And welcome to a very special episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am your host, Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I've just got to say right now, going through the World of Lights, I just got to say, those legendary heroes, yeah. Legendary Akuma, yeah, I hate you. I hate you, Akuma.
Tellius Tyler.
After last week's episode, I freaked out at Will for guessing that, for saying he was like 80% confident that Travis Touchdown would be a character in this game. But now Suda51 is teasing major Travis Touchdown news in the next week, and he's going to be confirmed for Smash. And Will's going to be right. I'm going to cry.
Hold on, I said 50%, and you mocked me for being 50%. So I'll be right too.
Yeah, you could be right too. But 50% for it's a terrible guess, and yet it's going to be right. I'm shocked.
And heck, you never know. It could be even more combat characters maybe down in the future.
You never know. And ladies and gentlemen, in a very special "Everyone Is Here" episode, we have brought back Andross Alex.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
And much to our chagrin, Kremlin Kevin.
I just have a few words to say, and that's Ninja Turtles for Smash.
Well, if you think about the one rule, then yeah, that would be totally fine.
I think if it should be, like Pokemon Trainer style, down and B switches between the fighters.
That'd be interesting, and that would be different than Injustice. So
yeah, it could be Splinter is the character, but he just is in the background making you.
Oh wow! Oh, that's a great idea. But so. It's officially been a week since Smash Bros. Ultimate came out. And while there has been some news and everything, it's not exactly earth-shattering. I mean, I've been keeping track pretty well, and most of it's about Smash and Switch sales and everything. So we decided to just go full-on Smash Bros. Tonight. And so we're going to be talking about, now that we've had a week and not like a few hours like for me and Will last time, Tyler, have you actually slept in the last week?
I actually sent my brothers a picture of what I look like right now. You would think I haven't slept for a week. I've been doing nothing but playing Smash. It's really been great, but also kind of too much, but still great.
Yeah. He's preparing for our Twitch channel. We're going to be doing a 48-hour Smash marathon, maybe, kind of, sort of. So basically, we're just going to forego pretty much everything that we usually do in the podcast, especially since we got Andross and Kremlin here. And we're going to focus on everything that is anything that is Smash Brothers that we have played. Because obviously we have five guys playing five different ways. So it's going to be interesting. So Tyler, what is our first topic?
Right. Well, I think we might as well start off with something broad here. Everybody will go around the room, summarize your feelings on Ultimate in a sentence or two. We'll get into, you know, depth, but just overall thoughts.
I'll go first. We'll just go top to bottom as we have it here in the channel. My opening thoughts... I wrote a piece when Smash 4 came out. It said Nintendo or Super Smash Bros. 4, or Wii U, 3DS, whatever you want to call it, is a game about celebrating gaming generations. And I said that because it had Sonic, Mega Man, Pac-Man, the latter two were just announced for the game. Of course, Mario and everything else in between. And I truly meant what I said. But Ultimate is a celebration of gaming. Period. Because, and I know some of you don't like it, but World of Light is so spread out in the characters they bring. They have the American characters, they have Japanese characters, they have one-off titles, franchises, third-party games. I feel like this uber nostalgia every time I get World of Light
is amazing. We will dive into that in just a moment. But
wait, what did you just say?
I said World of Light is I changed my mind about it, but we'll get into that.
Will,
your quick thoughts on overall thoughts on the game.
My thoughts on Ultimate so far, again, this when Sakurai makes a game, you know he makes a game. And Smash Bros. Kirby, you know he just fills up with content, and this is what Ultimate is. It's just filled with content. Like, there's just so much to do and so much to, like, see. Like, you don't know where to begin. It's just like a big smorgasbord of, like, Nintendo-y goodness. So, like, I love the game. It's just a lot to do. It's definitely well worth the money, and heck, with Down the Future, it's just bright. It's literally bright.
Kevin?
I love knocking punks off the map.
I think that that's a feeling that we all could bond about. And Andros?
When I first started the game, I thought it was super clunky and very uncomfortable, and I was very disappointed. But I think a mixture of me not realizing it truly is a new game, technicality of the game style and the gameplay, how different it is, I love it more than Smash 4's gameplay already. It just did take a good time to adapt. So, I mean, it's automatically like one of my top games of all time, and it's been out less than a week. That's where I'm at with this game.
Yeah, I hear you, because I had the same exact problem when the game started. I felt like I was moving really, really slow, and everything I had read said the game is fast, and I was like, what am I doing wrong here? Like, I can't figure this out. And then it starts to click, I think, just from playing it for a while. I went into training and messed around with the movement, and it started to work with some characters, not others, and then eventually I was like, okay, I feel like I've got the universal understanding of how the movement works. It's such a different game. And then before we dive into World of Light, what have you guys been spending the most time playing?
World of Light.
Kind of 50-50 between World of Light and Classic Mode for me.
I've been playing almost exclusively online, but I've also been doing regular Smash and Special Smash a lot.
I've been almost exclusively Smash. I've been playing with my buddies a lot. Offline, I haven't even set up online just because I heard it was bad and I don't have the wired connection yet. So I stayed away from that. I tried World of Light, but I didn't have any spirits and I was trying to play it on hard and I just couldn't get into it. But I didn't give it a fair shot either. But mainly just regular Smash Classic Mode, which I love.
Oh, cool. So we got a lot of Classic Modes. I've been pretty much doing all of it Classic Mode. I spent, like, the past 2 days kind of focusing on World of Light. And let me say, my skill from 3 days ago is so much greater than my skill today, because World of Light teaches you so many bad habits, and it's just – it's so frustrating. I really like the mode, but there's a lot of it's so different than playing the actual game. I guess we might as well just dive right on into World of Light and spirits in general. There is so much stuff to do in World of Light.
I love it.
So I guess we'll keep it kind of spoiler free. But
everyone dies.
Everyone does die.
Dude, the weirdest thing for me was when that what was it? His, I can't remember his name, but that big purple guy came in. He had this glove, and it like snapped his finger, and then like everything disappeared. It was the weirdest
big
thing.
Big the cat.
It was when Big the Cat came in and Thanos everyone.
Oh my gosh! I just realized he might not be a spirit in the game. I am almost at the end, and I have not seen a Big the Cat spirit.
I played for like a couple hours, and I have him already.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I might have bought him in the shop because I saw him, and I was like, need that for sure. But am I not going to have him as my main? Yeah, so.
My buddy and I came up with, before the game launched, we were coming up with hilarious character ideas. And Big the Cat and Froggy as an echo fighter for Rosalina and Luma. Who says no?
I'm down. I'm 100% in.
It's perfect. I mean, they have the bond and everything.
Hashtag kill the cat.
Yeah, but I guess Alex said something interesting in the beginning about World of Light, because I had the same issue that he did. It was really hard for me to get into it. I was playing it on hard, and there are some challenges that are just obnoxiously good.
Yeah.
There's one where you're fighting, you're going up against 6-8 Metal Mega Mans and a Dr. Mario at the end in a stamina battle. You have 120 health to start. They have 100.
And that level is impossible.
Yeah.
I beat it.
Me too, but it took forever.
Yeah. It, especially on hard, but I am an idiot. So in case you don't know this about me, I like to ram my head into a wall until the wall breaks. That's sort of how I solve all my problems. And so my solution to this was, I keep losing. Just keep retrying over and over and over and over until you win. And after like an hour of losing, I was like, that's it. I cannot do this anymore. I'm going to check my controller through the screen. And then I found that there's a Viridi spirit that does super metal damage. And then I beat it on my first try because it just carves right through them and they die in like 3 hits. So I think World of Light overall, there's a bit of a pacing issue with how the map is placed out.
Like, I don't know where to go. I don't know, like, oh, is this supposed to be the easier route or the harder route, or are they all the same in terms of difficulty? Like, hey. I don't understand the map, and it hasn't been spoiled to me.
It's not. There is no quote unquote easy route, hard route, and at least not that I've seen. And that would actually be kind of hard to do in a design way because of how massive this map is. So it might just be like the challenges you're having are just particularly hard. But there is no like this route. The Marth route is easy. The Wii Fit Trainer, like that 3-split one. Like there's no easy route.
Right. Okay.
Not that I've seen anyway.
No, there's really not. I mean, you could go right in the beginning, up or left. And my problem is I went left because Marth was there. I had to get Marth. And then I went through that like that whole side of the map, and I finally figured out, you know, how good spirits worked. I think I got a bunch of 3-star spirits that helped a lot. And then I got to the right side of the map because I hadn't touched that yet. Once I think you had to beat a dungeon or something, which are the highlights of World of Light. And then all of a sudden the path opened up and there was like a string of like 50 battles that were like, I could just close my eyes and hit forward smash because my character was so strong that the enemy would just die.
Yeah. I struggled early on, and I mentioned this earlier, mainly because I went straight into World of Light because I was very intrigued on how this was going to play out. So I can honestly say that I have not done a single classic mode match. I haven't done Smashdown or any of those. I just started doing online tonight because I wanted to get at least a few matches in before coming into the podcast. And so I just started, and so it was a struggle for me early because I kept getting like the characters I never use. I've used Marth in the past, but I mean like Pac-Man, Olimar, Wii Fit Trainer. I mean Kirby I've used, but just for fun. And then I got Link, and then it all started to click, especially once I started to relearn all my skills with Link and learn all the new moves, like his new bomb technique and everything, which I barely use, but still. But for me, it's just when I found the dungeon levels?
The dungeons, yeah.
The dungeons where you find yourself in a very particular castle that we all know. Or this isn't a spoiler, but there's a Zelda-themed level that's shaped like the freaking Triforce. And it's awesome!
Nice.
And that the boss characters, there are bosses in here that we did not know about coming in. We knew one out. This isn't a spoiler, but Rathalos from
my. I think we can go light spoilers are fine. Like first half of World of Light, I think is
okay. Yeah,
is good.
Rathalos is in the first half. We were told he was an assist trophy, and I've actually gotten him as an assist trophy, ironically enough.
Nice.
He was great. It's like, oh, Rathalos! He fills up like half the screen. It's just like, trying to fight here, and just whacks a guy off the stage. Oh, thank you. So that was great, but. There are other bosses, and there's one that I will not spoil, but it's like, did I seriously just fight that character? Like, what the heck? You know, like, it was clear that Sakurai and all the game designers just had the most fun they could mapping this out, planning it out, getting this. They have art on here that I never thought I would see. Like, I have seen the original art for Camus from Fire Emblem.
Oh, Camus.
Drog.
Yeah, came with Aedra, yeah.
Yeah, like, or the original Medusa, who is an enhanceable character, so I'm guessing she upgrades to her uprising form, which is fine. But just, there are so many spirits. I have spent, when I read a review for the World of Light part, they said that they'd get it done in like 10 hours. I've been doing 20, I swear.
Yeah, I don't think 10 hours is right. I mean, I've been cruising through it, and I've definitely put in 10 hours, and I just got past the halfway point, I would say.
Yeah.
The halfway point you think could be the end, it's not. There's more.
It's
there's
a lot of spares to collect. Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. Yeah. It's just the World of Light is massive. I mean, we thought when Subspace Emissary, whether you liked it or hated it, that thing was huge. This is bigger than Emissary. Good margin, and it's a lot more fun in my estimation. So
really, I still prefer Emissary. I think Emissary is better.
Well,
but,
again, I think it's because of the pretty cuts, CG cuts.
Yeah,
I like about
boss.
That. Yeah.
I mean, Marth, Meta Knight, and Ike on the same team. Hello.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, that's tough the spectacle of, and I think that the biggest weakness of World of Light is that I never really feel like I think I had 43 fighters unlocked at this point, and I don't feel like we're one giant team. I just feel like it's the character that I'm playing as moment. And that's something that was awesome in Subspace Emissary was you really felt like it was a whole cast coming together to, you know, achieve the unachievable.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I think that's, but there are some cool stuff. I love the references to the other, to the spirits. There's one where you fight Leon from Sacred Stones, Fire Emblem, and it's a Robin main fighter, and after you knock him out, a Ridley comes in, and just anybody
Stones,
you're like,
I
that is
them,
so
them.
Cool.
Yeah.
No,
one of my personal favorites was when I started to get what they were doing with the spirits and everything, I had one picture in my mind, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited for that picture to come true, and it did. Falco with a Revali spirit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I faced them. Yes.
Yeah. I was just like that. They could not do that. You know, it was too perfect because Revali's a jerk. Falco's kind of a jerk. They're purple birds. What do you want?
My favorite thing by far was the swordfish from Donkey Kong Country.
Oh,
name.
Engard, of course.
Thank you. And then Engard. In order to get him, you had to be facing Corrin, that favorite side B specials.
Oh. Yeah.
And dash attacks. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
makes sense.
And it would, like, those kind of, like, nods to old video games, most of them, I assume, are going way over my head. Some of them, when they hit, like, in my realm of, like, what I grew up playing, are like, wow, they really are doing everything with this. Like, I agree. It doesn't feel like the story's driving me through this. It's kind of like the, you know, Easter eggs I'm finding.
Mm-hmm. The nostalgia.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's like what I make of it that makes it so great, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I even remember, like, us exploring on Twitter, like, the voice actor for Axel and, what's his name? Raiden of Metal Gear fame. He actually also showed up. He is also a legendary spirit in this Raiden of Metal Gear Revengeance. So that's also kind of like I'm looking forward to like find out what his character is, and just on my also experience, like, because I also actually managed to go and get what's his name in the first Xenoblade Chronicles who turned into a Metal Face. Yeah, I upgraded him and became the legendary. Legendary spirit of Metal Face, which he's basically you became giant and metal, which is a very good legendary spirit. It's as you said, man. Is like when you find all these spirits, like how is this character gonna match up to the spirit they are that they're inhabiting it? And it's just very fun. As I said, it's like a big Easter egg hunt of like clever like that.
My team is my main spirit is Ray MK3, who I actually got upgraded to his actual custom robo form, and he's power is lightweight. So my Link, who is, you know, slightly heavy because of his equipment, is now a lot faster and a lot lighter, and it makes me a lot more nimble. And then I have Balrog as one of my support spirits, who increases my neutral power. I have Mr. Mole, who gives me the drill item.
Oh, okay.
Love that drill.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And then I have I can't remember her name. It's this pink dog character, and she improves my weapon attack. So I got a neutral special boost, a weapon sword boost for Link, and then I got a drill, which I totally spam. Because I have, like, if you guys have had, like, the whole, like, multiple enemies, if I get them lined up just right, the drill will kill all of them, and I'll have beaten the level in 5 seconds.
That's
I can't
hilarious,
tell you how
we've
many
done the same thing. Literally, same exact sword enhancement and drill for so much of it. I unlocked Ashley from WarioWare, and she gives you a faster final smash, so I've been using that a lot as well now. But that was my squad for the longest time. It was a sword-enhancing dog, and then the drill.
Yeah. Huh. Like, for me, I really love Agatha's lipstick item providing, because, like, especially when facing against Stannum, I was, like, when they just hit you so much, like, at least you know you have some sort of a leech seed ability to, like, just sap their staminas while you're fighting them. I really like Agatha's
now,
lipstick.
Now, how'd you guys come up with these as your favorite? Was it more so, did you just, because I found myself just doing random, and then if I didn't like something, then I'd actually look at it. But
right.
I kind of
right.
wanted to motor through it, because the length of this mode feels daunting.
It is.
So I feel a need to just kind of get through the early stages. What did you find to be the best way to figure out what you like, what you don't like?
Well, for me personally, and I think I'm the farthest of all of us in World of Light, I did what you did at first with like the whole like recommended thing.
Right.
But I started to read it like you did, and the big thing for me was that I didn't mind like shifting at times, but then all of a sudden when I got Link, I'm like, until I said to myself, until I get Ike, spoiler, he comes really late in the game if you do the World of Light unlocks. So I'm like, until I get Ike, I'm using Link. And so my mindset then became, what spirits do I use to better improve Link's power? And that's when I found the drill. I had always remembered the drill as a great weapon, and the pink dog character, I don't remember her name. You know, she proved my weapon attack, and I'm like, oh, if I can improve my sword power, totally. And I saw my damage jump. And then yes. Balrog, because of Link, I always use Link's smash attacks. You know, I love his special, sure, but with his normal attacks, I love them very, very much. And so if I can make them stronger, especially in the stamina battles, then heck yeah. So I literally just I picked my spirits team based on my main for World of Light, which is Link. So that's how I did it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I've been doing it as well.
Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't really. That's the smart way to do it. I just look for the highest star number. I think I got Choir Kids early, and I got Azernius early, and then I got what was the other? I forget the other color, but I just stuck with that. I didn't care what they added, and then
that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, what I, and I just use the same ones, feed them the snacks and level them up to level 99 right away. You get like a gajillion snacks, you'll never run out, and then you'll be super strong.
I was worried because I've been using snacks to level up spirits that have enhanced ability, so just so I know, I knew that some could level up, and so I just want to level them up to their max potential so I feel like I'm not wasting their time playing with them. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've never used one that needed enhancing, and I'm doing fine. Like, you'll get Geno kind of early. He's in the first half. You'll get Geno. He's a 4-star, and that's I've used.
I don't remember getting Geno.
He's in outer space.
Oh, I couldn't get to that part. I didn't have the spirit that would let me do the mountain climbing.
Robson. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know where that one is, and so I couldn't go to space. That's why I didn't get Geno. So, oh well. But thankfully they tell you if your character is enhanceable, and it's not. It's like, I don't know, 1 in 5 maybe.
Yeah,
so.
you can search by enhanceability.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, like one of my favorite, and I know Tyler will appreciate this. One of the spirits I got later in the game was Young Alm and Celica, and I'm like, oh, please be enhanceable. And sure enough, they go into their armor forms. It's like, yeah, baby.
That's why I haven't used Zero. Zero from Mega Man is enhanceable, and he's still only like a 2 to a 3. He's not even like a 3 to a 4. He's not like a 4 to a 5. Or I'm sorry, he's not a legend class, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I hear you.
But it was really awesome that at least they gave him some sort of dynamic, because I don't know. Considering spirits as deconfirmed for DLC. So even though that's probably, I'm definitely getting ahead of myself, but. Now that we have at least one announced DLC character, I don't know how quickly they're going to roll these out. So, I don't know.
No, that's a fair question.
Yeah, I just thought, I don't know, have you guys put thought into whether you think any of these spirits have any sort of likelihood to be DLC, knowing that Nintendo and not Sakurai is A, deciding, and B, they're clearly already in development, just not announced at this point.
My guess is because, like, with all these spirits they have put it in this game, again, from series, like, of, like, existing series right now, like, all the 70 plus characters that we have in this roster, no doubt about it, like, the universe and, like, sometimes a little bit outside in Nintendo stuff, like, for example, with the Metal Gear Solids or, like, Katamari, I don't know, like, all these different titles that's, like, outside Nintendo, like, there is probably a slight chance that maybe an extra character that's not a spirit is going to be appearing as a DLC character. But also just remembering what Reggie said back in the Video Game Awards, like they consider with Sakurai, like, these will be characters that you would not never ever expect to see in Nintendo. I mean, Persona 5 was clearly a clear example. Like, nobody expected Persona to be in Smash Brothers. And he's going to say that there's going to be 4 more characters that can have the same effect. I mean, again, who would you think would never ever get into Smash ever? I mean, heck, some people say a Mortal Kombat. Some people say, heck, I personally want Travis Touchdown. Like, it's really...
Banjo.
Yeah.
Or Banjo. Yes, there's Banjo. I mean, there's a lot of characters you would never expect, and some you would expect. So as like the spare characters possibly becoming a DLC character, I'm not really feeling likely on that side.
The fact of the matter is that 99% of all the spirits in this in World of Light are not going to be DLC characters. If for no other reason, then there's no
pure
reason
probability
to put
yeah. Four characters left, so, and there's about 7,000 spirits.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right,
so,
right.
But I mean, like, if we're being honest, 99% of them won't make it in. Like, how many of you remember the Nintendo series Coldicept? No,
I've heard of it.
There you go. Or how about Fossil Fighters?
Yeah, no idea.
Nani kore.
Okay, so like these ones will never make it in, more than likely. And then, but then you have some, and I know Tyler's gonna harp on me in this, but like Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah, or... I feel like they made a point to deconfirm him, though.
I
yeah,
know, but because... it just feels too much that they. I think they're. I feel like they went too far to say that he isn't in there.
I think that's what the costume, the Mii costumes, were for.
Yeah, but
because I only for him, he's the only one I feel like that. I feel like that was their way of saying, hey, you know, he's not going to be in it. Same thing with assist trophies. I strongly feel like assist trophies are as legitimate as a deconfirm as you could have.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So those are my two thoughts right off the bat.
No, but what I'm saying is like there are characters like Rex, like
I do agree. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. It's just Tyler's been saying the same things. I mean, he's literally been spamming me. Todd, stop talking about Rex. It's like Pyra. No,
listen, he's out. They said he's no. You're right. We can't take Sakurai's word for anything.
There's as sure as I am. It would just take Sakurai to say that, and he's got so much precedent for it.
Yeah.
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. But. And so, but anyway, moving on. There are characters like a Rex, like a certain Pokemon characters. Even though I would definitely say it's not gonna be a Pokemon character because of how Incineroar got into the game. But there are characters, or Geno. Geno's another great one. Geno's like, oh, he could totally be in there. He's not an assist trophy. He's never been an assist trophy. You know, there are possibilities, but whether they do it, we have no freaking clue. Yeah. I mean, hello, Piranha Plant and Persona.
Like, yep.
Who would have thought those were going to be in the game? And don't tell me about those rumor leak things. That was all crap. I don't care. No one saw this coming, especially Piranha Plant. No one saw Piranha Plant coming.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is here, and anyone is possible. So well, that's just the way I see it.
Let's shift over to the other single-player content, the classic mode. Kevin, you'd said you've been playing a little bit of that?
Yeah, I've played a few classic modes. I mean, I always start off on as high a difficulty as it'll let me. I've beat it with all of the original 8 that you start with.
Who was your favorite of the original 8's journey? Because I love the fact that they have unique paths to get to the
Well, Mario is always my main. I loved his, but I gotta say Donkey Kong's was just really? So much fun.
What was his gimmick?
He did most of his end stuff with Diddy, which was really awesome.
They were
fighting against... I'm trying to remember. There were a lot of big versions of other people. I remember. It was called Journey to New Donk City.
Oh, that's cool.
So Yeah.
That was, I believe, the end was fighting Mario and Luigi, and you were Donkey Kong. And
right,
Diddy Kong.
Right. I think so.
Yeah, the Mario versus Luigi battle was awesome.
It was really awesome. I agree. I've only played probably 8 or 10, not in any order, just kind of random.
And curiously, guys, like, has anyone of you actually finished the classic mode with the maximum difficulty at 9.9?
I have not, but I didn't actually know the way tickets worked until today. So if you die during classic mode and you use a golden ticket, it doesn't reset your
counter. Yeah,
that is a way to do it without like a deathless run.
Yeah, but my highest was like a 9.2. So yeah, I haven't made it to 9.9.
And here's the hint. Basically, use ice climbers. They help out so much. And I actually just managed to go and beat 9.9 difficulty just today at work. Actually, and
use ice climbers. Like go on their path or use their spirit.
No. You use that character. Use ice climbers because again, ice climber that dope team will save your life for the. But that's the bit. And yeah, when you face up against Crazy and Master Hand together, yeah, those two will help you out a lot. So, and if you like do very quickly, you can easily reach up to like 9.7 or even to 9.9 maximum difficulty. So yeah, definitely going to try a 9.9 maximum run, they have to go with Ice Climbers.
Yeah, I think just my, I talked about it a little bit last week. I've only done, I haven't done any further classic modes, but I loved Ness's because he had some battles where the Earthbound references were just everywhere. And it was just, it was such a joy to see that they put that much work into it. And I really want to go back just hearing about the Donkey and Diddy thing. Like, I feel like every character probably has something that will make me go, oh man, that is so cool.
You'll do that a lot with the Donkey Kong. Well, I did at least. And I played a lot of Donkey Kong, but.
Yeah, no, and I'm a Donkey Kong lover, so that's actually how I was passing the time before Smash came out, was just replaying Donkey Kong Country games over and over and over, and it was great. but yeah, so I guess let's get into some of the fun stuff now. The actual gameplay. First of all, I need to know all of your mains.
Ike, Link, at present.
Ike and, let's see, Ike and, yeah, I think it's, for now, Ike.
Donkey Kong, Mario, and Bowser.
For me... Cloud's by far my best all around. Then probably Captain Falcon. King K. Rool because he's so broken. He's so funny. Not even he's easy to beat if you know how to beat him, but most people don't because he's new. So him and Donkey Kong, Mega Man, and Young Link. And then I'm still trying to toy around with Krom. I really like how he plays. I just for some reason I'm good with Krom and not Roy, and I'm trying to figure out why that is.
Well, that's because Krom is superior in every single way.
It appears that way. Just based on his hair color alone, it would appear that way.
It's really, that's what it starts out with, having blue hair. If you're a blue-haired lord in Smash, you're good. Unless your name is Ike, in which case you're finally good in Ultimate. my main is actually Pit. Like, you know, every I always play Marth. Marth is my... I still play him, of course. I love Pit in this game.
You
like,
guys in your Fire Emblem.
Pit Icarus. Fire Emblem. Pit is Kid Icarus.
Of course. But I usually do play all the Fire Emblem characters, so
nothing wrong with that. Hold your ground.
The way that it plays in this game, he's got the same moveset as in Smash 4, and yet he feels so much better to me. Just his all of his aerials come out faster. His outer shield options are great. You can just jump out in nair, jump out in fair. Shielding in this game is so bad compared to previous games. The hit stun is ridiculous. You can hit with Ganondorf's forward smash on shield, and it's safe. You can't, if it's blocked, the other person can't react in time. And I find that Pit's moves are perfect for that, because I can just pressure shields over and over and over. And his up air is so good to harass people who are on platforms and off stage with multiple jumps. I love that character. I guess, Todd, we'll start with you. What do you love about Link?
Well, when I first started Smash Brothers, when I was a very, very young man of 12. No, I'm joking. I don't even remember how old I was. I played Link because Link was my favorite character. Like, he was my Nintendo character. I grew up on, you know, the Legend of Zelda games. And he was a sword wielder. He was the only sword wielder in the game at the time, which is kind of ironic now that I think about it, because of all the sword wielders we have now. How many sword wielders do we have now? Like,
there's like
20?
Too many.
20?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do a count while I monologue. But
Hector for DLC confirmed.
Who?
What? What?
I said Hector for DLC confirmed.
Oh, you're lying, aren't you?
No, yeah, I'm joking.
Oh,
yeah,
don't do that.
It's
Tyler
a way to
attest...
get a Fire Emblem non-sword character in.
Tyler will attest that I have been asking for Hector for a long time, haven't I, Tyler?
Yeah, you have. You have.
Because I thought a heavy armor axe wielder would be totally awesome, and he'd be totally different than anybody else. But anyway, the reason I like Link is Link has such variety, and that's actually why I was so grateful to get him in World of Light, because of the path I took before getting Link. I had no real long-range characters that I was comfortable with, but because I have Link, I have the sword, but I also have a bow, I have a boomerang, I have my bombs, I have distance that I can use, and so I'll start picking like off their health or adding on the damage points with a bow, and then when I feel I'm comfortable, I'll go in and I'll start like hacking with my sword, doing my charge of smash attacks, and I'll just start annoying them until I hit that one move. Like, one of my favorite moves is my dashing sword attack where Link just jumps and does a massive sword swing and does a bunch of damage. I've killed so many World of Light characters with that move. And then of course his B up is legendary. His up charge attack is great. He's a very balanced character, which is something I appreciate. And I know the irony of that, given that my other main is Ike, who is not balanced at all. He's very much sword happy, which is fine. I make it work. But with Link, it would be, and I'm grateful to World of Light for this, that I've learned to love Link like I used to. And my first online victory came from Link. So I was very happy about that.
I actually was messing around with Link yesterday or 2 days ago for like all day. I wanted to learn every single character and just like, because I know at the end of the day I'm going to play Marth, because as Kevin said, I just play all the Fire Emblem characters. But in the meantime, I want to appreciate the journey and see everything the game has to offer. Link is one of the sleeper characters, I think. I think he is so good. His fair is disgusting. It kills at like 80%, maybe even less against lighter characters. His new bomb is phenomenal for pressure, for traps. You can do so many things with this character. All of his aerials are great, and he feels faster to me than he does. Everybody feels faster to me than they do in the previous Smash games. But Link has a ton of tools. I guess we'll stick with the original 8, though. Kevin, what about Mario?
Man, Mario, like you were saying, he is pretty balanced. He's kind of medium heavy. He's medium powerful, but he's also medium fast. Like, he can outrun the big characters. He can outhit the small characters. His up air and his up air is amazing, and his aerials are just great. He's got that forward air spike that can spike people straight down. And now in Ultimate, his up B is a kill move. If you get him, you don't even have to get him that high, and you do that up B, it'll blast him right out of the screen. It's I think that addition right there has made him like a serious contender, even more than he already has been. They slowed down a couple of his smash moves, his up and his down. Smashes. Okay. His forward is still powerful. They also reduce the range a little bit. I've been playing a lot of online, and the same thing happens with all the Marios I play, is that we'll do the down A smash, and we'll miss by like just a little bit because they nerfed his range just a tiny bit. So we'll see what happens with that. But he's amazing, and you can get such sick air combos with him. If you get him above your head, you can do grab up A. Or a grab up throw, and then you can immediately jump and start getting air combos on them if they're at any kind of percentage. And if they're not at a percentage, you can get an up tilt right away.
Yeah, his aerial movement too, being like you said, he's so balanced on the ground. He's not slow, but he's not fast. Aerial movement speed is excellent. That feeds into those combos. I love his Nair. I think Nair for every character, I love. But it just a little, like, he sticks out his foot. And even if you hit with a weaker hitbox of it, it can lead into so many combos. He's such a fun character to play. Will, break down your main and why you enjoy playing them.
Say his name. His name is Ike.
It's Ike. And it's just the fact that he is just brute power. Yeah, I mean, as I said, he's not the fastest of characters, but when you need power to spare, like, he can take out heavy characters and no problem. Heck, his like forward smash can take out people easily at 60%, which is like, holy moly, 60% damage and you already have KO potential. It's like, wowzers. And
that might be why I won a tournament with him. Did I mention that before? I don't know.
once or twice. Yes.
So, like, yeah, because Ike has really gotten me through like the spirit battle and through most of my games just because of his just sheer brute force. I mean, again, there's really nothing much to really strategize with him. Like, if you're able to line a smash, it's good, but if you don't get the smash, you don't. And I mean, the fact that he also has a counter also helps out balance things out in case like you get too pressured up, so you got that some breathing room. And if anything else, his short hop is definitely one of the more very effective short hops in the game, at least in my opinion, especially when you try like edge guard. It's just something about Ike that's like, again, he's powerful. I mean, sure, he's not fast, but in a way, he's also has that hidden potential to be fast. You know what I'm talking about, Todd? Like, he has that potential to be fast. Like,
yeah. I know what you're talking about, because I feel like, in my opinion, the short hop mechanics, because I don't know if you guys are this into the technical things, but you can now do them easily with X, like jumping right, right. and A together. And it's made it so easy, and it actually makes things like combos with the hit stun. It allows you to give in that built-in adaptation, because it's one less timing thing you have to learn. And so I found it a way to make me really solid with a bunch of characters that I wasn't used to doing aerials with, and it kind of makes all of their attacks flow. So it doesn't matter that Ike's smashes are so slow, because you can speed him up with like his basic aerials and some jabs. And I feel like the whole gameplay is more open like that for everyone. And I think he benefits from that change more than most fighters.
If you find yourself feeling like the game is slow, I think there's nothing better than to do that short hop aerial thing. That actually was what made the game click for me. Because yeah, that same. Is so great for punishing. Like, if you hit attack and jump, whatever your controls are, at the same time, character will do a short hop aerial. And in this game, landing lag on aerials is reduced, so you can act faster when you land. And characters like Ike, who have really big, powerful moves, but usually have a ton of lag when they land, suddenly they don't have so much. So Ike is a real threat, especially if he throws someone. If he gets them above him, his up air, whoo! It's so strong, and the same really goes for his back air. They're both powerful moves that before were hard to throw out and not get punished, but in Ultimate you can use them so much more effectively.
Yes, it's exactly that. And again, Ike is just Ike's Ike, man. He's just great. He's just great to use. Just very
Ike's gonna
use.
Ike.
I need to know about Andross as Captain Falcon, because I've not met a Captain Falcon who is good yet. I think Captain Falcon is one of the weaker characters in this game.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. So he is. And so what happened with him was he was the first player in Melee that really clicked for me. And so I've always held this attachment to him, regardless of how viable he is. And so in Smash 4, I felt like he was easy to play with but hard to master, because you could spam rolling and you can use your speed to fake out people and make them make a move and bait them. But more experienced smashers that like the glory hits, like the flying knees or the spikes or the edge guards, are benefiting from this version of Captain, because he's able to do things like do a side B and not have stun, so you can immediately go in with a jab. His smash attacks are virtually unusable unless you are trying to punish, but they're necessary for punishing. So like, he's very specific and he's really hard to pick up if you don't have like any knowledge with him. So I like him, but because his character, or just overall, it's so hard to learn him compared to Ike or Bayonetta, or like some of the people that people think are easier characters, because he's just got a lot going on. So For those reasons, he's not my best. I think like Cloud would be my best, but I don't use him in the spammy way most people do, with like just chaining aerials. I'm kind of a mind games guy with him, and I don't really rely too much on my limit break, which a lot of people think you do. So that's kind of where my game lies with him. But yeah, I mean, those are by far my two strongest. After them, there's a huge drop off, I feel, but I'm also not trying to put time into other ones yet. I'm trying to figure out really the mechanics still. Like, I haven't perfected parrying yet. I haven't perfected buffering certain moves. So
yeah,
I'm just still trying
to talk about parrying, because parrying is so difficult. And when I do it, I don't really mean to do it, and I never capitalize on it.
No, and so you can, if you anticipate a parry, you can do any move, smash, jab, whatever you want. And that really is the point. However, I find myself perfect shielding, and even sometimes perfect shielding multiple times in a row on like a neutral aerial, that like Pikachu's neutral aerial that just kind of zaps multiple times. And I don't even know how I'm doing it. So I don't know if that's the design of this. I don't know if it's something that I really should like focus on to try and get. Because I don't, I feel like the same for me goes with down and B counters. I know I've made that joke so many times, how I hate them and they're overused, but I can't time them. I'm like, when I'm trying to bait my buddy into it, it's very rare that I'm able to time it the same. So I feel like those two things are just hard compared to the last game, but probably for the better, because it does feel kind of cheap if that's like the main moves you guys are using, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. For the parrying mechanic, I think, is important. I went into training and just had Inkling start spamming forward smash with Inkling Brush and just started trying to parry it. And it works fairly well until you go online and then there's lag. And I can't time this again suddenly. This is still, I'm kind of guessing when it's going to hit. It's a whole thing. And I probably wouldn't be able to do any other move. I just kind of practiced against the Inkling's charge forward smash. So how your body or mind just sort of gets into the rhythm of, okay, this now. Yeah. But every other move, it's kind of different. So I think it's going to be really, really important if you want to get super skilled at the game. It's interesting that you think Captain Falcon is a more difficult character, because I found a lot of characters like that. Kevin, you'd mentioned Donkey Kong. I think he's another one of those characters that's actually kind of difficult to play. Like, I think he's really good, but it's not just like a brain dead like Mario. I think is pretty standard. Like, you know how to use him. He's not going to surprise you with anything. Mm-hmm. But Donkey Kong is a lot different to me.
It probably helps that I've been playing Donkey Kong since I was 9 years old. So yeah.
I mean, yeah. I've played him forever, and I've always been horrible, especially compared to your brother, yeah. Tyler. But that's where I've learned everything. And so in this game, I feel like it's easier to pull off a lot of his like grabs and smashes into other smashes. It's easy to time big hits with him for me. I don't know if you feel the same way, Kevin, but that's what I've...
Yeah, I agree. And it helps that so many of his hits are big. Any tilt of his is as good as a smash from like light characters like Pikachu.
Right.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think Palutena on the other hand, Palutena in Smash 4 was like a super technical character that was really just hard to use. In Ultimate, I feel like she's so easy and she's amazing.
Okay, so I never had Smash 4, so I don't know about how she was on Smash 4, and I haven't played as her on this version, but I have had no problem at all just wrecking every Palutena I've come up against. When I played against her on the challenge, challenge approaches, I beat her. I think I had like 8% on me.
Wow.
And I've played her a few times online, and like I've got one stock with zero or two stock left every time, and it's mostly three stocks or two stocks, but you know, I'm kind of destroyer every time, and maybe just my playstyle matches up well against her. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, you could be right. And it's so early to say like how matchups go, but if you're playing Mario, I could see maybe how that would be tough. Although I think Palutena would do well on that because her moves all have such range. It's kind of hard for Mario to get in, I would imagine.
Well, the time I've played against her, it's actually been as Donkey Kong. So.
Okay. Got it.
I can't stand her still. I just think, whether it's her movement or whatever they're trying to do with her, it just doesn't feel, it feels so forced to me. She's probably my worst character. To be honest, I've tried her again.
Really?
And I know they made her better because I wanted to give her a fair shot, but she's totally irrelevant.
Is she from Fire Emblem?
No, she's from Kid Icarus.
She's from Kid Icarus, so.
Oh.
My heart is dying over here. Is she from Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem, like, nonstop with the anime characters.
I'm sorry.
Respect the anime characters.
I'm sorry, but Palutena is in no way. You said this, Todd, like, you felt like, you know, Smash was a dedication to gaming.
Yeah.
And I believe that and agree. But, like, gaming doesn't need three Kid Icarus people, with one of them being as boring as Palutena. And one of them being Dark Pit.
I would take Palutena over Dark Pit, okay?
I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, it's not like... a surprise to me that I don't like her. It's like, who is
that's
that?
That's fine. That's your opinion.
Palutena.
I respect that.
Like,
I'm going to 100% agree and go a step further and say that Smash does not need 30 anime characters that all look the same except with different haircuts.
You do realize that there has never been a Nintendo anime. So
I realize that every Kid Icarus Final Fantasy and Fire Emblem character looks exactly the same I realize.
If you play Kid Icarus and you don't love the personality in that game, I just can't talk to you. Because Kid Icarus Uprising, it's just the pit
I couldn't play it because the controls were hurt my hand.
We
talked about that. I'm sorry. It ruined it for me. I love
that game. Like, I love that game to death, and I love Pit to death. And I'm so happy he's good in Ultimate because even when I lose a stock with him and he yells, "I never learned how to read," I crack up every time. Like the 15th time I heard it, I was still like, "This is the I love this character so much." And Palutena is the same way. I love her in this game. She's great. Now I do agree there are a lot of anime styled characters.
I'm just saying every one of those characters is probably built on the same model because they all look exactly the same.
To be fair, there was a anime new fighter segment for Palutena.
Oh yeah, her trailer was very anime.
Right. That's neither here nor there. I mean, I guess the point is that who do you guys think is the character that you've played with so far in this game? New or not, whether they just feel different or they're a new character where you didn't see yourself liking them and for some reason they've clicked with you.
Radley.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Bowser.
I was trying to beat World of Light before the podcast ended, but then I found another section of the game that I have to play now. And so I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, go jump in online. And then online went into maintenance. I was kicking Star Fox's butt, and not surprisingly, his name was Will. And, like, right in the middle of the match, the maintenance kicked in, and they kicked us both out, and I totally was going to win. And I don't really know. I can't really say that for sure. But, and then so I was like, oh, let's go to training mode. So I got back into Ike, and I started getting my feeling back, and then I had, like, oh, I got 20 minutes. Let's try someone else. So I couldn't help myself, and I went to Ridley, and even though I was just facing a computer character, I like how Ridley feels, and so I look forward to seeing how good I get to with Ridley. And then I tried Simon Belmont, and dear gosh, I love this character.
I could not get a hold of him.
Oh yeah. I knew I would love Simon Belmont. I do love Simon Belmont, the character. Yeah. Well, actually, Kevin, you said Bowser. Why Bowser?
Well, he's so I didn't play Smash 4 much, like I said, but in every other game he is so slow, like painfully slow. In this one, I mean, he's still slow compared to other characters. He's faster than Ganondorf, but that's not saying much. He's so powerful, he can power through like other players' moves. You know, like I said, I've been playing DK for a long time, and he's even more powerful than DK. And some of his moves, especially some of his aerials and his tilts, are actually like lightning fast moves, and you can do a lot of really awesome stuff to clear players off the map. I just love playing with him, and his you know, I know this isn't huge, but the animations, it's so much fun to play with him.
His animations are great. You're totally right. His animations are phenomenal. Actually, I really like Bowser too. And I think it's because he's got such good range, and he didn't Smash 4 too, but I never play heavy characters. I mean, anybody who knows who I play as quick characters. That's always
sword fighters,
tricky characters like Diddy. They're usually
and little orphans.
Yeah, right. but Bowser is he's got. His aerials are really good, and his arms are so long that I feel like I can safely space them. It's almost as though I am playing with Marth with a sword because my reach is so far. Mm-hmm. And Wolf, interestingly enough, is the same way for me. I really like the way Wolf feels in this game, and I never played a Star Fox character. I stink with Fox. I stink with Falco. Wolf, for some reason, he clicks with me.
Now, Tyler, what are your thoughts on we've heard about Link. What are your thoughts about how they've individualized each of the three Links? Specifically, I want your thoughts on who you think is your favorite one to play as. I know that I think we were both excited for Young Link. I personally immediately love him, and I really feel like Toon Link is number two in my eyes, and the regular Link I still can't get a hold of. But I wanted to know your thoughts. I'm not saying he's bad, I just I haven't gotten
kidding.
A hold of one yet.
I love all three, and I've played as all three because, like I said, I messed around with Link, and I thought, well, maybe let me try the other ones. Young Link clicked with me right away, as one would expect. Again, super quick character with a sword. That's my thing.
A milk taunt as well is
a milk exactly. But I actually think Toon Link might be my favorite, and like that almost feels like blasphemy to me because he's always been my least favorite. I think the difference between him and Young Link is, even though they both have incredible air speed, Toon Link's got a little more pop. I prefer Young Link's moveset, but Toon Link's got some kill power that I think Young Link lacks. I think for me, Toon Link might be my best. And then it's hard to differentiate between Link and Young Link because they do feel so different. I think Link or Toon Link and Young Link do feel very similar. They have similar styles. They're both fast in the air. They're both fast on the ground. Young Link's a little more combo oriented than Toon Link, where Toon Link's got a little more power. I feel that regular Breath of the Wild Link feels nothing like those two characters. He is totally different, and it's amazing how one move bombs changes that. Because to me, regular Link is a trap character. You put the bomb down, you try to grab somebody, throw them over to the bomb. You use the bomb to cut off parts of the field and make them stay where you want them to stay. He's such a different character.
I agree, and that's why I felt it was weird that I was initially excited when I heard they got rid of his tether grab, but now I feel like his character would benefit from one. And so I really just don't know what they want me to do with him. Am I supposed to get up close and personal, or am I supposed to bait people and kind of keep them far away? Like, I don't
know what
he's trying to do.
It's your choice. That's why he's so versatile, because it's your choice. And then this always
like
accentuated.
Doesn't do anything exceptional, and he's not quick enough for me to do it.
Here's what he does exceptionally. He edge guards exceptionally well. Bombs are a just phenomenal tool off stage, as are all of his aerials. His Nair, his fair kills, which is just, it's a great kill move off stage. It's got some startup time though. His Nair is amazing to edge guard, and it's the same for Young Link as well. Toon Link's got a different one that's not quite as good, and at least in my opinion. But yeah, Link, and Todd's right. Link, really, it depends on your opponent, because there are matches where I will see that the guy is just kind of staying away from me, and I'll just shoot him with arrows and say, okay, you gotta come to me. Meanwhile, if I'm fighting somebody who is who's really good at getting up in your grill, I'll use a lot of bombs to try to just kind of mix it up and get them off of me by using the bomb to control where they can go. And then it's much more like, it's a lot like playing Marth. I'll space his aerials. It's particularly fair on shield, does a ton of shield damage. I think if you probably hit two fairs on shield, like if both swings, it'll break.
Tyler.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, oh my gosh, are you saying fair and nair as in neutral air and forward air?
That's what he's saying.
Okay, yeah, in the word of the immortal Homer Simpson, nerd!
Yeah. I am a total Smash nerd, in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah. I wanted that type of answer, so I'm sorry. That's how deep in the weeds we are with this. On a surface level, this is a fun game. And if you want to not talk about those type of technicalities, that's totally fine. But yeah, we're in this. We're in this thing. It's pretty bleak down here. But also, when you haven't... I haven't slept since the 7th, so I don't even know if this game's out yet, or if I'm just dreaming. I mean, I've just lost all track of reality at this point.
I wanted to ask you guys
if you played the Squad Strike or the Smashdown, I believe.
Not yet. I have not.
I have both. The Smashdown.
Okay. I found them both to be exceptional. What they are, they're not trying to be, you know, 1v1, 3-stock Final Destination. They're not trying to
Fox
be that.
Only.
Right, exactly. So it's not trying to be that at all. But it's very great from breaking up the monotony of long-term play times with people. If, like, you do teams and then you can do this. And also, if you just have one person. That was the only disappointing. I figured that they could do both of those modes with more than just two players. I felt like that was a little weird.
It's only, wait, Smashdown's only two player?
Yes. No, no, it's not.
Really? Because I couldn't get it working with more than two.
No, it's four player. I did it with our crew.
Speaking of mode,
what about the other mode then? 5v5 and 3v3?
I think that that's only 2-on-2. I haven't tried that one yet, though.
Speaking of mode issues, one thing that really pissed me off is that you can't play two players per console on Arena. So, like, for instance, me and my wife wanted to play against my sister and her husband because we both bought the game and we wanted to play online together. But if you create an Arena, aka the only possible mode for a private battle, you can only play one player per console.
Really?
It's garbage. I'm so mad about it.
The online is terrible. Let's talk
Especially
about
since you can play co-op online. Like, me and my wife can play on a team against random people. So I don't understand why that wouldn't work in Arena with private battle, but
that is weird. That's absolutely mind-numbing. I have no idea why it's like that. But Kevin, we got into it on Twitter. There was a scrum. You tweeted that competitive players need to get good and get used to playing free-for-alls with items. Please elaborate.
No, that is not what I said. What I said was it is very, very entertaining watching competitive players whine about having to play free-for-all. And then I added, just as an insult, get good scrubs. But my actual thoughts on that was not that you should have to play free-for-all with four players and items if you don't want to. You should be able to play the modes you want, absolutely. But if you're only playing, like you guys were saying, if you're only playing 3-stock, 5-minute, no item, no smash, and omega levels only, then you're really only playing a very small portion of this. Like, you can be the best in the world at that, but you're still only playing a very small portion of the Smash game.
I see the merit in that.
There are lots and lots of modes. There are lots and lots of variations. And being the best at one variation is incredibly awesome, especially since it is certainly the variation that involves the least amount of, I suppose, luck is the best word for it. But at the same time, like, free-for-alls are fun as hell. And,
yes.
You know, playing with all items on high is an absolute blast. And if you never play that, and, like, watching people complain about playing that, like, oh, I keep losing because it's free-for-all. Well, yeah, you're losing because you're only good at one section of the game. Like, if you have to play free-for-alls, get good at free-for-alls. Like, don't just bitch about not being good at free-for-alls.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. You could be, like, I found Pikachu super easy to play with, so I immediately went, well, he feels cheap. Let me be Pichu and be very arrogant.
I love that.
Tiny mouse is adorable. The woman apparently recorded new lines. The fact that I looked into that and know that to tells you how much I love this character just for how trolly it is.
I love your attitude about this. It's amazing.
But my point about Pichu is that 1v1, I can actually make Pichu viable. I can kill you kind of early. I can outrun you and I can combo you. However, if you're playing free-for-all with Pichu, not viable.
Yeah, you're done.
You're going to get hit with something. It's just, and you die at 25 from a medium character because you're just so tiny and you're just so susceptible to the knockback. So people also, like, that's where skills come in with characters that you wouldn't normally be, like Bowser, you know, where, like, sometimes being a heavy and just knowing how to time smash attacks is enough. I agree. It's a totally different style of play. And I feel like this mode of Smash, like this design, this gameplay of Smash, does the best of both worlds. And I think this was the balance that Sakurai was trying to aim for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to add to your point, like you said, it's a different style of play. Like, 1v1 with no items on an Omega map is one thing, but, you know, if you're only used to playing for that, you get super focused in on the one opponent, where you have to have much, much more awareness for a big map free-for-all with stage hazards on. And you have to gain skills that you wouldn't normally have, like being able to defend your back while keeping a guy off the edge, or snatching up a good item before the other guy can get it. So, you know, there are a lot of there, and I think the items on those big maps, especially in the free-for-alls, are important, because otherwise, you know, big characters would be hard to overcome in a free-for-all because it's so hard to kill them. But they can't get the items nearly as quickly as the fast characters. So even the small fast characters have an advantage there. A free-for-all is a very, with items, is a, like you said, it's a different style of fight. But people complaining about luck, it's not always luck. It's just that they don't have the right skills, like snatching items and shit.
Yeah, I think like the problem is sometimes it's just where the items spawn is random. And
that happens too, yeah.
That's where that element comes into play. But here's a casual take for you. The Final Smash ball is better than the Final Smash meter. I don't like Final Smash meter. I prefer
I like
balls.
The Smash meter, especially in World of Light. It's saved my life so many times.
I agree. In World of Light is a great time because it actually forces you to learn how to implement what each fighter's Final Smashes are without like playing a regular mode. However, they feel like, especially when you have someone with an animation like King K. Rool, or they feel so big and so monumentous, and then it's like kind of like half of a Final Smash. And you're like, well, what was that? Like, that just felt like a waste. I'd rather have done an up smash at that point. Like, that was like a distraction. So I do hate that the Smash Ball still has to be caught, but at least now it doesn't move sporadically, and it kind of sits there.
Wait,
more
are you
so than last
No. So far as I've determined, there are four different types of Smash Balls, and they act differently.
For real? Like, actually?
They do.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that at all.
There's one that drops and kind of sits there, and you can knock it off the map because it rolls if you hit it, but then it falls back onto the map with the same amount of damage done to it.
I've seen that one. Yeah,
there's one that floats in predictable patterns. It's a complex pattern, but it's a predictable pattern. There's one that actively dodges you and zips across the screen if you get close to it. So you've got to be like really on top of getting it. And then there's another one that kind of bounces through the air, and I cannot figure out the pattern on that one.
And then there's
different, or is it just they appear this way?
No, they all look the same, but gotcha. When one appears, it behaves predictably in one of those four ways.
Right, I understand.
Okay, yeah, I mean, to me, the thing with the Smash meter that I don't like is the fact that some of them, I think that it actually almost skews the balance even worse towards them being overpowered. And yes, they're a lot weaker, but for Daisy and Peach, it's just as strong. And at that point, you just wait until Daisy or Peach gets it, and then they put you to sleep, and then they kill you. Whereas, you know, Marth's critical strike kills at zero with the Smash Ball on. It doesn't kill until like 60 or 70 against heavyweights on this, which I think is better. But that being said, there are some characters whose Final Smashes aren't affected by the nerf, and I think that kind of skews it. I prefer, at the very least, everybody has the same chance of getting the Smash Ball the way it floats around. I actually like that more. Now, I never really play with Smash Balls on or Smash Meter on when I'm actually playing the game, but in terms of which, if I were to play that way, I'd prefer just to have the traditional Smash Balls on. Also, Super Sonic needs a buff. Super Sonic was the best Final Smash in Brawl, and they nerfed it in Smash 4, and they nerfed it into the ground in this one. And it's just, I hate the fact that Super Sonic isn't the best Final Smash.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Final Smashes that don't really do much. Like Mario's Final Smash, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't play it in Smash 4 enough to know the difference, but like, it doesn't deal that much damage, and if you're on any map bigger than, like, an Omega map, then unless they're at a high percentage or you get them already on one side of the map and push them that way, like, it doesn't kill and it doesn't deal a high percent of damage. At most, it gives you, like, breathing room to set something up.
Yeah, there are some Final Smashes where they're quick, but they don't do a lot of damage. Like, regular Link now uses his Ancient Arrows as his Final Smash. And if you have a high percentage on your opponent, it can do damage. But then, in contrast, if you do it, like, right at the beginning of the match, do, like, all of 15. But it also launches your opponent. So it's very much you have to know what your Final Smash does, animation or not, so that you don't misuse it, because that's cost me in certain matches. Because if you're off by an inch with the ancient arrow, you're going to miss.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure they're, like, literally in your line of sight when you fire that arrow, so.
Yeah, meanwhile, Zelda's is, like, a full-screen vacuum that just sucks you into the Triforce. There is no escape.
No. Zelda's is only a full-screen on small courses. If you're on any medium to big-sized course, like, granted, it has a huge range, but if you're a decent way away on a decent-sized course or map, then you're good to go. It won't get you.
Yeah, you're right. That was a little hyperbole. I was referencing what happened to me on Fountain of Dreams in World of Light, which is a small stage. So you're not wrong there. You're totally right. But we're still doing pretty good on time, but let's talk about the online a little bit. We've been talking lots of positives. I feel like the online is going to be something that we are all universally not in love with. I think that the outside of the free-for-all thing, which we've discussed, the fact that battle arenas, can you do multiple matches at one time on that? Like, if it's me and eight other people playing online, can you have multiple matches going on at one time or only one? Because I'm under the impression that you can only have one.
Battle arena is just one match, yeah.
Why is that a thing? Like, ARMS, for example, greatest game of all time, ARMS has arena mode where you go in and it matches you up and you play a traditional match. You can have eight people in the lobby and it'll just match you up with a person and you play. Why isn't that in Smash Ultimate?
I see, that hasn't been a problem for me because I haven't gotten more than six people in there and I haven't seen arenas for more than six people. And I think that might actually be the max is six person arenas.
Six.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can do, your rules are, you can, if you do four player, you can do last place out or bottom two out. And if you do 1v1, you can, there's another way to do it, but yeah, it's not just loser goes out, but there's one where you can do like top two or the next two guys play or something like that. I just don't think it's meant for like big parties like that. I think they expect that to be like LAN or like some kind of bigger tournament style. I mean, because you could always just set up another arena. Now, granted, then you can't shuffle
right.
Who's playing who, but I guess that it doesn't seem like they made that a priority in that style.
You're right that they didn't. They should have to me.
I agree. Like, I agree. Now that you say it, now that I thought of it, or now that you say it and I think about it, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like even the way that screen is about, like they have like bleachers in the background, like it almost looks as though it's like, yeah, have everybody come in and play, and you know they're sitting on the pines waiting for the match. I feel like it'd be great to have a center ring where like the champion is, and you have to if you're. You're playing in a party of however big, you should be able to have a party bigger than six, in my opinion. You have just different arenas, and when you win, you move up a ring, and you just keep moving up until you're king of the hill, and if you lose, you go down a step. I don't think that that's that complicated, and I think that it really, really should be in the game. I mean, there's just times where you can't have everybody over to play Smash. You want to play online. I live far away from my friends in the north, and I'd love to play Smash with them all the time. But there's really just no convenient way to do it. And it is 2018. How is that possible?
Well, I mean, they don't even have voice chat online. You have to get you have to get a phone app. So, I mean,
yeah.
Nintendo, as I like to say, is the most forward company in some ways and the most backward company in others. And online, sadly, is one of their biggest backwards things. And
I don't understand why this was a surprise to anyone, only because when they announced that there was no For Glory per se, and that Elite Smash also would not necessarily be For Glory, I felt like there's no way that this can be as fluid out of the gate as we want. And I think it will be resolved with patches. I feel like that was probably the last part of the game that they really need to develop. I feel like that is also a reason why they're limiting themselves in DLC characters. I feel like they know it is where it is and they just want to resolve problems soon. Also, I feel like if they announce the Four Glory mode out the gate, that would make people afraid to pick up a game. You gotta realize, most of my friends that are playing this haven't played a game at all, maybe. Thumb 94. And I have friends that they're getting Switches because of this game.
Same like here, yeah.
Married
I have...
men with like men that have kids and they're showing their kids these games.
That's me.
And it's blowing me away, people that I never thought would play this game, and it's gotta be intimidating for people seeing 74 characters and some like, you know, Isabel and Palutena.
You know,
like,
I think a lot of the hype surrounding it is really getting people through most of that intimidation factor. Like, I have a good friend, like me and my friends, like I have a GameCube. I've played a decent amount of Melee. I played a good amount of Brawl with my brother because he had a Wii. But really, my bread and butter is the 64. I've never met somebody who can beat me more than 1 out of 5 on a 64 matchup. So I love the 64 Smash. There's no tournaments in South Bend, Indiana, so.
That's
but
all right.
Anyway,
just needed to check
hold
your
on.
Reps. Yeah.
You live in South Bend?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Not that you live in South Bend, but I was there a few months ago for a con. If I had known, I would have invited you.
Oh,
darn.
Shit, man. Yeah, I remember hearing about that, too.
Yeah, MonsterCon.
Next time you're in town, hit me up. But anyway.
You know it.
But I have friends that, like, they refuse to play Smash with me, like, ever. Because, you know, I'm really good at it, at least the versions that we had available. And I have these guys are like buying Switches. They've seen people play on Twitch. They've seen, you know, they've seen some of the hype, and they're like, my best friend who I do my podcast with in particular. He's like, I'm buying a Switch. Like, I'm getting one as soon as I get paid next. I'm buying this game, and I'm just gonna play the shit out of it. Like, this is bringing so many people into the community. And honestly, I don't hate the online system right now. I wish that it gave a higher priority to your preferred rules, and I was reading the patch notes for this.
I was
going to
say that's
update.
Oddly specific because the online game version 1.2, we highly prioritize your preferred rules.
Right, and yeah, and that's good. So you can play how you want to play. So if I decide I want to play free for alls, I can go do it. Or if I want to play one on ones on Omega maps with no items, I can go do that. That's great. I don't hate the GSP system. I don't understand it at all, but I don't hate it. I don't think online is as broken as people think. I just think it's mostly people mad that they're not getting their preferred rules every time.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with that. I have no doubt the least amount of online experience between all of us because, again, I've been playing World of Light. But the few times I did play, all my matches were 1v1. I only had one match that was items. And honestly, it was only the final Smash, which was poetic because it was an Incineroar, and I don't want to talk about that match. But
I hate Incineroar.
Incineroar is a good matchup against Link because all of Incineroar's most of Incineroar's movesets are I want to grab you and do bad things to you.
Oh,
I disagree.
I think Link bodies Incineroar. I think that matchup is in Link's favor, like in the extreme.
See, I think everybody matches up well against Incineroar. I think Incineroar is terrible.
One of my buddies is actually halfway decent with him. And I was like, you know, he's not clicking for you. I think you should stop being him. And then I tried him out. I'm like, I don't even know how you can get anyone killed with this guy. Like, if I'm not up
someone
and beating
killed
somebody, I don't get him. I'm sure people have figured him out. But he feels so clunky to me. I'm happy he's in the game. Like, that's like kind of my thoughts about some of these new characters, like Piranha Plant and Joker. Now, it's like I don't necessarily know how they're gonna be. I don't really have any nostalgia for them. But if they feel different and unique and not just like have a slight gimmick, I that's all I want out of these new characters.
I agree. That's actually why when. As Tyler and Will will attest to, one of the characters I really wanted in the game to diversify things was
Simon
Belmont.
Don't say Rex.
Belmont! Gosh dang it. I'm talking about characters that are in the game, not characters I would hope would be in the game. Gosh dang it, Tyler. Anyway, I wanted Simon Belmont in the game because I knew the whip effect would be a big game changer. But then they threw in the cross, they threw in, you know, his fire spell, and everything else, and so
I love Cross. Cross is such a good tool.
I've only played a few of the Castlevania games, but none of them were with Simon Belmont. It was like Aria of Shadow and Portrait of Doom and everything else. But I still wanted to try Simon because he was different. And so far, I like what I see. Now, whether I actually decide to be main as him is one thing. But that's why I am actually excited for some of these DLC characters. Because, as we know in the last podcast, Sakurai is apparently looking for characters that will really change the game in terms of diversification of weapons. And that's why we're going to get Joker because of his persona. Again, we don't have no idea how that's going to work, but still. And so I'm right there with you. If a character's different enough, I'm at least going to give him a shot.
Well,
then again, there was Wii Fit Trainer, and that might have been way too different.
Let's speaking of
I got
DLC, let's
wrecked
talk
by
about
a trainer online, man.
I believe
it. He was killing me with Squirtle.
I believe it.
Wii Fit Trainers who jump off the side of the stage and throw the volleyball at you, they have a special place in hell for them.
I was talking about the Pokemon trainer.
No. Yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Yeah, I was talking about Wii Fit Trainer, but Pokemon Trainer is such a cool character. I love Squirtle.
I'm glad he's
Squirtle
back.
Is a blast.
So my first victory in online, I told you, was with Link, but it was against the Pokemon Trainer. And he was actually beating me with Squirtle because, you know, Squirtle is fast and Link's a little bit slow. And then I jumped right when he was doing his Squirtle dash, and he went right off the stage. I'm like, bye-bye. And then Venusaur came in, and I trapped him in a corner and whacked him with my sword. I sent him flying. I'm like, I win. Bye-bye.
Yeah, now Squirtle, that's a character I think would give Link a hard time. Squirtle's so hard to hit, he can get in. He's got great combos. He's a tricky character.
I find Ivysaur very unpredictable, too. I kind of love the way he moves.
I always called Ivysaur my anti-aircraft gun because I just would spam his B-shooter up. And like when someone was above me, I'm just like, you're not coming down until I let you. Good times. Tyler, move on.
Yes. So let's talk about the future of Smash Ultimate. We talked about DLC a lot recently, but we haven't gotten Kevin or Andross's opinion on that. You guys, first, we'll get your predictions. Who do you think is in, / who do you want is in? Give me one you think will be in and one you want to be in.
And be fair, guys. You know, you don't need to be a Grinch.
Well, that's where I'm going to go for mine. Both think and want is Banjo. I really think all signs are pointing to him, including this persona. He's the one I wanted more than anyone else. Back with the Smash ballot, I actually only voted for King K and Banjo. I thought both were long shots and kind of had no chance. The fact that we got King K is great. I think Banjo is likely because he's not a spirit, he's not an assist trophy, he would be a third-party character, specifically Microsoft. Their relationship has predicated on cooperation so far. I would see some sort of, you know, hey, you know, maybe you put a Minecraft character boss for Banjo's classic mode, if we'll let you use Banjo. You know, I could see something like that where Sakurai would be like, I don't want any part of this. And Nintendo goes, that's fine, our decision, Banjo. I don't care how we get Banjo. I want to live in a world where he's in at any cost. I just think, I think most realistic would be a Fire Emblem character. I'm not even joking. This is the only game so far where they don't have a new one. And granted, they had new ones in the last game too, and then a new one as DLC that came back from old in Roy, and then a new one as DLC for a new game in Corrin. So they love it, and they show no signs of stopping the Fire Emblem character. So I don't see how one Fire Emblem game character won't be in.
I'm going to agree with you, and I think the most likely is probably another Fire Emblem character that looks the same and plays the same as all the other Fire Emblem characters.
I would not play the same. She's a girl, and she has white hair.
Yeah, okay, but she's built the exact same frame, probably has the same facial features, but you're right, she does have white hair.
Oh, and she uses an axe.
Oh, instead of a sword, and it has the same mechanics.
No, it's going to be a little slower. She'll probably have a dash deck where she spins around and swings it. Oh, it'd be great.
But something Todd said that really resonated with me, so I'm going to go with my
just one thing?
I'm going to go, literally, but I'm going to go with the character I want. I want the Grinch. I want the Grinch for Smash.
Oh, gosh.
that's brilliant.
Mean.
He would have the best animations. Come on, you know this.
Only if the purchase comes with a post.
I'm absolutely down with that.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big Grinch fan. Just, you know, outside of the alleged leak. So yeah, you know,
the failed leak. You mean the one that I said was fake, and you were like, "No, Todd, it's 100% real. The Grinch leak is real." Yeah, who's the Grinch now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it did look pretty real. But anyway, so right now we only have these four characters that are left to come. Personally, I agree with Banjo being more likely after Joker, because as I said last podcast, I think Joker really feels like a Sony character to me. I know he's not. I know he's Sega Atlas. But Persona 5 is only on PS4 right now.
For now.
For now.
It would make sense to me that we get Banjo as the Microsoft guy. Again, he's right at home on Nintendo consoles. He would be, of any Microsoft character, I feel that Banjo would be the easiest to adapt into Smash, and he would appeal to that target audience. And going one step further, this has just really just ignored this. This is not real evidence. Just I want to put that out there. This is fake evidence. Joker appeals to a new generation of players. Banjo appeals to an old generation of players. If I was Sakurai, I would try to kind of hit both, and I could see Banjo getting some points because of that. Again, that's just my opinion. That's not real evidence.
That's a fair opinion. If you look at the games that we got in Smash Brothers, there's a lot of old characters, sure, but there's a lot of new characters too. Sakurai actually has made great efforts in, like, since Brawl to really start incorporate newer characters, you know, like mm-hmm. Corrin or Shulk, and I know there's more. The revamped Palutena, who I know was in the originals, but she was, her new form was very much Kid Icarus Uprising. So
yeah.
I find the relationship with Nintendo and Square Enix kind of suspect, because they still only have two sound pieces, Final Fantasy VII,
yeah,
representing
that's weird.
Cloud. I don't see them adding anyone. I know people want Geno, and most people gave up. I know people think Sora.
Tyler,
it would work well to promote Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't see it happening, and I don't see how you can accurately represent him without any Disney intervention.
You're right.
That's my two cents.
I think it's actually a little easier than you think. I know that the Disney part is important because of how important big Donald and Goofy are, but if you really think about what you play as when you play Sora, it's about the Keyblade, it's about his abilities, and it's about his magic, which is all non-Disney. So,
what do you guys think about Crash Bandicoot? Because
Tyler.
I think he's one that I would like to see, even if I don't end up being great with him. I think he's the last video game icon from my childhood that's not.
Yeah, Crash is interesting because, well, first of all, Sora I have cooled off on since he wasn't announced at the Game Awards. I thought that would be the spot to announce him. I really don't see him anymore. But Crash, I also think is just, I mean, he has a moveset that you could definitely use, but I just, for some reason, I don't feel like he's going to be the choice. When you say icon, I guess he's kind of an icon, but he's not on the same level. Like, he's on the same tier as Spyro to me.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't think that if you're going for a retro character, he would be the one, or he wouldn't be extremely hyped to me. And I don't think he'd be extremely hyped to a lot of people. It's almost counterintuitive. I think you would expect people to be like, "Oh, yo, Crash is in Smash. It's amazing." But I don't think that would be the reaction. I think people would more be kind of mad. And I think Rayman is kind of similar, although I like Rayman's chances more of any kind of 90-second
tier. Just a quick heads
tier.
Up, Rayman is actually a spirit in the game.
But
that's true.
But hey, we've all admitted that spirits have a chance. It's the assist trophies no luck, because they were, you know, custom built to be assist trophies.
All right,
so
Isaac,
Shadow, Waluigi, you know, them.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's a good point. I don't really see too many 90s icons. I do think Banjo is probably our 90s guy who would make it. Outside of that, I mean, Reggie said we're looking at off the board picks, or we're looking at, he said, intriguing new characters or characters you wouldn't expect to see in Smash. And Crash almost, to me at this point, feels like one you would expect to see in Smash. Now, Joker, you wouldn't expect to see him in Smash. Banjo is almost similar in that same logic of, actually, I kind of would expect to see him in Smash. So we'll have to see, but I'm not really sold on Crash.
It's interesting you say the last 90s icon, because the original Smash did come out in the 90s, and Melee came out.
Early 2001.
I mean, it would have been developed all through the 90s. Like, it came out, it was 2001. So they would have had almost exclusively 90s characters to work with.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is Piranha Plant. Everyone is here.
90s
anyone
icon.
Anyone is possible. That's the new world. That's the new world we live in.
All right, but what about this? And this
could
is
say,
a
could
ridiculous
say
idea.
New, you could say this is Nintendo's new Persona.
This is a ridiculous idea, but it just hit me right now because of Ridley. People said Ridley was too big, and then they shrunk him down. What if they went with the fifth character being Master Hand?
Never happened.
Finally, take
it.
Control.
I would love it.
I think would be cool.
Okay, well, you got to say it right, Tyler. It's the first time outside of a glitch, because there was there was the Melee glitch. That would be cool. I won't lie, because there's a lot of people have thought about wanting to be Master Hand, especially because of the Melee glitch, which was actually, I kid you not, was a part of a Screw Attack's top 10 glitches today. It was like number 3. Also, there was the Jigglypuff Final Smash glitch, which is hilarious to look at. But that would be cool. I don't think they'd go that far out the box. But then again, Piranha Plant and Persona, so you never know.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing before we get to wrap it up. Yeah. We have 4 new characters that were coming in, but Smash Ultimate, I think, is going to be a game that we're playing 6 to 7 years from now.
Agreed.
Like, I don't think a Smash 6 comes out for a considerable amount of time.
Yes, yeah.
Totally.
Five
agree.
Characters, they said that's running through the 2020, so that's about a year from now.
Well, this might be it, guys. It might be it for, unless it's going to be dictated based on sales. I don't think they could justify.
I think the sales already justify enough.
They had 1.2 million just in Japan. We don't even know the American numbers yet.
But it's not about the sales of the game. It's of the first DLC. Yeah, it's great right now. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying if people are like 74 is enough, I don't need another 5.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, a Fire Emblem character or the Joker, who's that? You know, people are going to say that, and not everyone's going to buy every new character. So
that's fair. I didn't in 4.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's what it's most likely going to depend on to see if they will add new. But I would like to think that this is the first 6 or whatever, 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 6 would be the Piranha Plant.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I like to think this is the first 5. Or 6, you know, of like 2 or 3, but you know, as of right now, I'm just taking it as it comes. I'm grateful that there's everyone back, and that was definitely the most important part for me, that everyone that's ever been in the game is back. And I feel like it's gone so underrated until I got my hands on the game, and I'm like, wow, I can be Wolf. Like,
yeah,
I forgot he existed. He's awesome. You know, like, it's I don't know. Those are my 2 thoughts.
I think for me, and this is just to wrap it up. I no matter whether they ended at 80 or they go a little farther, maybe with like 85 for year 2 DLC, which I'm not sure they would do, but I think just the privilege of having all these characters is something that'll keep people going for so long. And I know when the game was announced at E3, and Sakurai noted that only the core N64 characters were going to be there at the beginning, everyone was complaining, like, I don't want to play as them. I want to play as these characters. But then as they started doing World of Light and started doing the whole 10-minute charge down to get new challengers approaching, it was a thrill just to think, ooh, who am I going to get next? Ooh,
yeah,
who
I
am
loved
I going
it.
To get
it
next?
It's
right,
a great
right,
mechanic
right.
to the game, I felt. I know,
yeah,
Tyler,
I love it.
We talked about this. Tyler, it kind of worked out great. Tyler didn't really need or want the interest to unlock it kind of as it came, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Like, yeah, I wanted pretty much everybody right out of the box.
Right. So, and you were able to do that because the system was able to be manipulated in such a way.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I let it just kind of happen. And at first, it kind of was frustrating, but it definitely led to my appreciation, and I felt like it was a decent job. I didn't feel like I was grinding away.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me force being people who I wouldn't be in the beginning.
Exactly. And that, then that way you weren't, even though like guys like all of us here, we're all veterans of the Smash trade, those who are new, when they see a massive board of 74 characters, they're like, who the heck am I supposed to play as? Whereas if you get a character every, you know, 10 or so minutes, depending on how you play it, and then you're like, oh, I just unlocked Pit. I should go try him. Ooh, I never did a Mii Fighter before. Maybe I should try one of them.
Are all new players super, like, high-pitched voice?
It's like, oh, my gosh, look at that, Mom, it's Ridley! Like, wait a minute, why is Ripley in the game? No, Mom, you're so old, it's Ridley! I appreciate anyone who got that reference.
Moving on. I did.
Thank you. But I'm just saying, like, it's something we could appreciate. I'm with Tyler. This is definitely something that they're not going to make another Smash game for at least 6 years, at minimum. If for no other reason than the Switch is going to be around for 6 years, and they would not put another Smash game on a singular system. They just wouldn't. It's never happened before. They're not going to do it before. Sakurai wouldn't take it. So this is something, no matter who the remaining four DLC characters, oh, I'm sorry, three DLC characters, we know Travis is coming, isn't that right, Will?
We shall see. I'm expecting news. We shall see.
Yeah, they just need to score that touchdown. Hi-yo! I think it's something that we're going to have a lot of fun with. So, with that, we are ending this Smash Brothers Extravaganza! Because everyone was here, kind of. I appreciate Andross and
Kremlin. You'll get Cho on the DLC.
Oh my god.
Well played. Well played, my friend. Tyler.
Yes.
Poll question.
Last week we asked what you thought of Joker's reveal for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and 65% of you said my persona is ablaze, which I assume meant very excited.
Yes.
4% said this mission is a go, which means moderately excited.
Yes.
15 said Matt, and 16 said I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Shame on you, though. Shame on you for those who voted for that.
I think that's fair for really thinking about it, because, I mean, I was excited because I remember how well the game was reviewed, you know? And I remember people, including a former co-host of ours, Daisy Delilah, she was all in love with Persona 5, and, of course, Will loved it with all he had. And so getting Joker in the game was kind of cool, but for those who don't play Persona, don't know Persona, and like we're hoping for a person like Sora or Chrono or Geno or someone non Square Enix. Banjo, there we go. Chrono, Banjo, never mind. I can understand the disappointment, because it just wasn't their pick. But hey, that's why we also have five DLC characters. So, well, I'm very interested to see how people vote for the other four. So, this week's poll question, 1 week in, what are your thoughts about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? A, best Smash Bros. Ever. B, an amazing experience. C, it's a really good game. D, I wish it was better. Sound good, Tyler?
Indeed.
Okay. All right, and of course, let us know what your favorite things about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is. Do you like World of Light? How are you handling the online? Who are your mains? What do you think of Classic Mode? Have you been playing Smashdown and Squad Strike? Do let us know. We look forward to talking with you about it. So, for Kremlin Kevin, Andross Alex, Tellius Tyler, Warrior Will, this is tiring. I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!